Move right to the preaching time now. So look in your Bible to Acts chapter 22, 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. If you are getting familiar with your Bible, Acts is in the New Testament. If you find the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, keep turning to your right. You might want to use the index in the front of the Bible to help you find Acts chapter 22. And we are not doing the Bible reading time, responsive Bible reading. We are not having another special. We've already had that this morning from the trio. And usually I'm a 40-minute preacher. And don't pass out, ladies. The roast will not burn, okay? I'm going to cut it in half this morning. I got the time right in front of me. And I'll be sensitive to that. But I want to just bring you a thought today from God's Word along the lines of this very special day, our Veterans Day in America. Look at chapter 22. And for sake of time, let me just read for us verses 26, 27, 28, okay? Now, you found 22. Look down at verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. We're in the middle of a narrative here about the Apostle Paul. When the centurion, that's a soldier, over 100 other soldiers, heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, the Apostle Paul, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He, the Apostle Paul, said, "Yes." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." And I'm going to talk to you this morning on that subject for a moment. I was freeborn. I was freeborn. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us, the opportunity to recognize these men who served and are now serving our nation's military. God, I pray that you will bless even now those who are currently serving overseas in distant lands. I pray that you'll protect them, God, please, as they seek to protect our freedom and engage sometimes in combat to do so. I pray that you'll be with their families back here in the States. Bring them home safely. God, please be with my thoughts now from your book. Thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Speak to our hearts in these moments, I ask in Christ's name. And amen. Let me give you the setting for the passage that we just read. We read a very summarized part of it there in the three verses. Paul the Apostle was about to be scourged by Roman soldiers. Now, scourging was a painful punishment that was inflicted on criminals under Roman law. Paul had done no wrong. He was attempting to give his testimony in front of a large group of Jewish people who just hated his newfound love and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was giving his testimony. And the Jews erupted in anger when Paul got to the part in his testimony where he said, "God sent me to the Gentiles." Now, Gentiles is a Bible word for anybody who's not a Jew. So if you don't have any Jewish blood in you this morning, you're a Gentile, okay? The Jews were God's chosen people. They are still God's chosen people. Ordinarily on Sunday, I wear a lapel pin that has an American flag and an Israeli flag. I wore the American flag today in light of recognition of Veterans Day. But the Israelite nation is still God's chosen people, all right? But God sent the gospel to not only the Jews, he sent it to the Jews first, he sent it to the Gentiles, he sent it to you and me. And Paul was the chief carrier of the gospel to Gentile people. And all he does is he says that. He says, "God sent me to the Gentiles." And these Jews erupted. It was chaos. They went crazy. This whole assembly of Jews went nuts. They began tearing their clothes off and throwing their outer garments in the air. They began picking up fistfuls of sand and dust and dirt, Palestinian soil, and began to throw it up in the air, if you will. And it was just chaos, and it went on for some time. And finally, somebody ran down to the chief captain. He said, "Man, you better send some troops down there, some soldiers. There's a riot. It's chaos." And so the soldiers got there, the chief captain, and they spotted the Apostle Paul. He looked right to be in the middle of it. He always was. Amen. Wherever Paul went, it was either revival or riot. He was right in the middle of it, okay? And so he just has his soldiers snatch the Apostle Paul because he looked to be the whole cause of the problem. And he got him inside and he told his soldiers, he said, "You prepare him for scourging because we're going to find out what's going on here." And he figured Paul wouldn't talk. So he's going to put him on the whipping post and scourge him to get the truth out of him. And so they get the soldiers, they get ready to scourge the Apostle Paul. And Paul, and you can read this in verse number 25, Paul realizes what's going on here. He's about to be whipped with a scourge. That's a horrible punishment. Don't have time to go into it, okay? But a horrible punishment. And in verse 25, he grabs for his last straw. You ever heard of grabbing for your last straw? Okay. To avoid this beating. He grabs for his last straw and he says, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" He says, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman citizen without giving him a fair trial? I've not been found guilty of anything. Is it proper for you to do that?" Look at verse number 26. When the centurion heard that, he's the guy in charge of the 100 soldiers. He said, "Whoop, whoop, whoop." He put everything on pause. He said, "Stand down, boys. I'll be right back." He went and found the chief captain. And he told the chief captain, he said, "You better be careful what you're doing here, because this man's a Roman citizen, hasn't had a fair trial." So the chief captain goes down himself. And in verse number 27, the chief captain comes to the Apostle Paul and he says, "Tell me, art thou a Roman? Are you a Roman citizen?" And Paul says, yes, I am. And the chief captain answered, standing in his mob, he answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "I was free born." The captain was not born a Roman citizen, but he had purchased his citizenship and the rights and privileges of the Roman citizenship at a great cost to him. Do you see what he said in verse number 28? "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." The captain, the chief captain in the Roman army, wasn't born a Roman citizen. He purchased the citizenship. And by the way, you're talking about the ruling world power. So all the rights and privileges that go along with being a citizen of the ruling power of the day, Rome, he had to purchase it. And it cost him, he says, a great sum. Paul answered, "I was free born." What he means is Paul was born a citizen of Rome, and as such, he enjoyed all the rights and privileges of Roman citizenship just by being born a Roman citizen. Didn't cost him a thing. I want to say this morning that I was free born as a citizen of the United States of America. I have rights and privileges that come to all born here in this land, but I realize that my freedom was purchased at a great cost. A great cost. Now, all of us who are free, free-born citizens of the United States of America, all of us who are free-born, as Paul was in Rome, need to remember that a great price was paid for our freedom. In large part, we are free because of the veteran. Because of the veteran. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who gives us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the orator, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the community organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran, not the congressman, who has preserved the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We enjoy the rights and privileges of American citizenship today because, in large part, men and women have fought to protect those rights and those freedoms and those liberties. We were freeborn, but it didn't come cheap. Freeborn, but it didn't come cheap. I was thinking this week, I've mentioned before, all I have ever known as a boy, all I've ever known as a young man, all I've ever known as a young adult, all I've ever known as a middle-aged adult, and now, by definition, not by experience, all I've ever known as a senior citizen is freedom. That's all I've ever known. That's all I've ever known. And if you were born into this country, you can say the same thing. Freeborn. I mean, all the 55 years of my life have been lived in freedom. Oh, yes, I know there are fewer today than they have been in years gone by, but I am still free. Born that way, but great price has been paid for me to be free and for you as well. And a huge part of that was paid for by veterans. Some might say that freedom has been paid for by those who died. Yes, that's true. But it has also been paid for by those who served and lived. You're part of the same price. In life or death, peacetime or wartime, the cost of freedom continues. Do you understand, friend? I sat here, stood here with you and listened to these men introduce themselves. And remember, understand that we didn't have very many who were from the World War II era, one or two. You understand that when World War II vets came home, they were honored and cheered and ticker tape parades, and people respected them and appreciated the effort they put forth in World War II. Do you understand that since that time, some of our veterans have come home to cursings? Spit. I sat, stood and listened as those that gave the years of service during the Vietnam War. Many a Vietnam vet returned to curses. Returned to spit, to ridicule, and disdain by those who enjoy the freedom that veteran protected. That's a travesty. So I don't agree with war. I don't like war either. War's horrible. War's awful. But there are some things worse than war. And loss of freedom is one such thing. Now, we used to have that mentality in this country. And men rose up when they felt their freedoms were threatened and in volunteer fashion went to battle to protect freedom. I don't know what would happen in our nation today if we were encroached upon by an enemy army with our freedoms at stake. Some veterans live with survivor's guilt. They lived while their buddies died. You've read the stories. The guys in the foxhole, on the street. And one says, hey, can we change positions? And 10 seconds, 15 seconds after they change positions, a random bullet finds one of the men. 15 seconds earlier, it would have been the other guy. How can you explain that? It's the price of war. If you die, if you live while others died, yes, they died to protect freedom, but sir, you lived and served to protect freedom too. And our hats are off to you this morning. So the price of freedom. Some died, some lived, some still serving. Paying that price, it has been huge. That's why we planned the service like we did today. As a very elementary way for our church assembly to say to those who are our members and veterans and those of you veterans who came for this special occasion to simply say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being separated from fiancés and girlfriends and in some cases wives, children. Thank you in some cases for placing yourself in harm's way. Thank you for staying here in the United States if that's what you were called to do, or traveling overseas. Thank you. Thank you for the effort, the sweat, possibly the blood, the tears, the loneliness, the cold, the heat, the thirst, the physical preparation. In some cases, the mental anguish of being engaged in combat. We salute you this morning. We thank you. We're freeborn with all the rights and privileges of United States citizenship, but it didn't come cheap. It came at great cost. It's ironic that when it comes to spiritual freedom, one man lived, died, and lived again to purchase spiritual freedom. I'm not talking about religious liberty, but spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. There never has been a more cruel dictator than sin. Never has been. There never has been a more severe taskmaster than sin. Oh, there have been dictators and human taskmasters, and people who've lived under their control and authoritarianism and totalitarianism have felt the brunt of the awful bondage of being oppressed and under the thumb of some dictatorship. But you know what? While some people were living under that, others in the world were living free. When it comes to sin, no one has escaped its dictatorship. No one has escaped its totalitarianism. When it comes to sin, we are all born under its grip and under its condemnation. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. It touches everybody. And we deserve the separation from God that comes as a result of our sin. That separation from God is in the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. You say, how could a loving God send anybody to a lake of fire? All sin is against God. All sin is against God. I've used the illustration before. Bear with me if you've heard it. Some have heard hearing it for the first time. If I am a private in the army and I get mad at another private and smack him in the face, I might have to do some push-ups or run around the base. If I'm a private in the army and I get mad at my sergeant and I smack him in the face, I'm going to do more than push-ups and run around the base. If I have opportunity to be in the presence of a captain someday and smack him in the face, now I'm going to. This is going to be. And if I get mad and close enough to a general and rear back and pop him in the face, I'm talking about a dishonorable discharge and court-martial and time spent in prison. And if I would make an attempt on the life of the President of the United States, even with my fist, I'd be killed before I got close enough to hit him. Do you see, friend, that the punishment stiffens as you climb the rank? The same crime, but a different punishment as you go up the ladder, if you will. Who is higher than God? No one. So our sin is against the highest that there is. Our sin is against the Creator, the one who formed us and made us. Our sin is horribly against God, and the price of our sin against the highest there is equal. Eternal separation from God forever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. But, if you'll let me say it this way without being irreverent, a soldier, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, came from heaven, lived on this planet for 33 and a half years, went to that cross and laid his life down on that cross and shed his blood. And as he died on that cross, shedding his blood, his death paid the sin debt for all mankind. Isn't that a blessed story? Our sins have been paid for by the death and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very things we remembered last Sunday night at the Lord's Supper as we passed the bread, symbolic of His body that was crucified, and we passed the juice, symbolic of His blood that was shed. Huh? And we remembered the price of our salvation was the death and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took His body off of that cross and laid it in a borrowed tomb, and it lay lifeless and still for 3 days and 3 nights. But then the captain of our salvation got up and walked out to prove that He was the Son of God with power. You say, that's a fairy tale. I would not bet against it. He died. He was buried. And He rose again, and over 500 people at one time saw the resurrected Jesus. Friend, His death, His burial, and His resurrection was all accomplished for the purpose of setting you and me free. As an American citizen, you're freeborn. But when it comes to salvation, you have to be born again. You've had a physical birth, which puts you under the bondage of sin. You need the spiritual birth, which breaks that bondage and sets you at liberty, free from the penalty, power, and someday the presence of sin. It's a blessed thing. Glory to God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. 2 verses later, he said, except a man be born of water, physical birth, and of the Spirit, capital S, spiritual birth, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. 2 verses later, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Physically, born in the United States of America, you're freeborn with all the rights and privileges of American citizenship. But when it comes to your spiritual relationship with God, who is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and truth, your birth puts you under the bondage of sin. And it is only through the second birth, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, that you can obtain freedom spiritually and have a relationship with God. Because the captain of our salvation provided it for us on Calvary. Thank you for serving. From the bottom of my heart, I think I speak for our church this morning, for all of us who didn't serve. Thank you for serving. But more importantly, if you're not born spiritually, if you're not free through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a great day to put your faith and trust. Be safe.